The Africa Report.
Bonjour, Monsieur Jean-Jacques Cornish, comment ça va?
Bonjour, Absalom, très bien, merci.
Long time no speak, my good sir, but without wasting any time, Ethiopia and Sudan, what's happening?
Well, their foreign ministers were here in South Africa seeing Riek Machar, the exiled South Sudanese vice president. I say exiled, South Africa doesn't like calling it exile, but certainly Machar's not permitted to return to South Africa. It seems that the special mediator on South Sudan, who is none other than Vice President Cyril Ramaphosa, was in on that meeting. IGAD, the regional body that deals with this, is calling on all parties, as it always does, to make a peaceful solution. Now, Riek Machar came here for medical treatment and then sort of stayed here. He's attempted to return a few times. He's really being held, well, almost incommunicado. It's very difficult to get to speak to him. But this is the man who was vice president and then became supposedly the rebel leader and then was hauled back into the vice presidency because Salva Kiir's foot was held to the fire to bring him into the process. And then there was fighting among their troops. So I think until Riek Machar gets back in to the process and plays a peaceful role, the chances of Africa's youngest country returning to peace are slim.
And you talk about at least 7 people dying in Accra.
Yes, indeed. We've had the stories coming in since the weekend explosion of a fuel depot, a giant fireball driven into the air, residents fleeing, residents of the area called Atomic Junction being moved out of the way. It appears it was caused by a tanker delivering natural gas that caught fire. It was a vast explosion, and that blast triggered a second fire, which set a petrol station alight, so that kept the fire going. So the residents of Accra, you know, at least 7 dead, more than 100 injured, are paying dearly for this terrible accident.
And as many are proposing the legalization of the sale of ivory, Britain certainly is going contrary to that.
Well, you know, the conservation groups have welcomed that because, I mean, you know, if you open the door, rhino horn or ivory, you open the door, the people selling this stuff illegally will find the gap. You can't say, it's pre-update. In Britain's case, it was pre 1947 antiques you were allowed to buy and sell ivory. But the people, it's a hugely expensive commodity, and the bad guys will find a way around it. So now that there is stop the sale in all but some musical instruments, I imagine some pianos, and then culturally important items. But this, and Michael Gove, the Environment Secretary, who was here last year for the CITES summit, you know, and then where they all spoke about doing what they could to save the elephant. He's announced this, and I think something like this happens, I look to the most credible conservation groups, and if they think it's a good thing, then I go along with it and think it maybe is a good thing, and maybe it will go some way towards stopping the sale. I mean, China has stopped it, but nevertheless, a great deal is getting through. Until there's a proper ban on all rhino horn and all ivory, those two giant animals in Africa remain severely under threat.
Enough said then, sir. Thank you so much, Monsieur Jean-Jacques. We chat again tomorrow morning.
Ademain.
Ademain, sir. Thank you so much, sir.